A decade after apartheid ended, musician Jonathan Butler went back to Athlone, Cape Town, with a mission to visit his family and play a special concert in Cape Town. He grew up in the colored townships, and in South Africa, colored was distinct from black. That's where he learned to trust his talent.
This is where the family would see who's the real singer or not, and you sit by the fire, and when you throw in your voice, everybody goes, okay, I think he can make it.
Butler documents his trip back with a new CD and DVD, live in South Africa. Recently, Jonathan Butler dropped by our NPR studios with his guitar. We started out talking about how he became the first non-white person played on white South African radio.
Well, I was 12 years old. I just got signed to an independent label called Jive, which was independent back then. It was a kind of different time, you know. I mean, I was doing cabaret, and I was singing in carnivals, Malay choirs.
So wait. You're 12 years old, and it sounds like you were already an experienced showman.
I grew up in a family of 12, you know, siblings who all were out there doing concerts, cabaret shows, working in nightclubs, traveling, you know, and their stories always fascinated me when they came from their travels. They talk about so many things they'd seen and they sort of stuff they would bring home, and music was obviously our world, you know, and I just loved that. I just wanted to sing, but I was the kind of kid that would openly sing for you right off the bat. From the time I was 6 years old, I was in community concerts. My parents always had their own variety shows, and then I started winning competitions in carnival and stuff like that, and I started working with local bands because they loved my voice, and we did R&B stuff, you know, from America. We did pop stuff from UK, a lot of top 40, you know. But my journey really began when I won a huge contest in South Africa, in Cape Town, and that took me away from my parents. And I remember being sort of pretty scared, basically, because I was a 6-year-old kid, 7-year-old kid, living now. I had my own bedroom. Our shanty house, our shack, was pretty much all the brothers lived in one room and all the sisters had in one room, and mom and dad had twin beds. So for me to have my own room was pretty amazing. That kind of, you know, scared the living daylights out of me, and having to learn to eat with a knife and fork. And, you know, through all of that travels and leaving my home, my parents, by the time I was 12, I got discovered by Clive Calder, who used to own Jive Records, and Ralph Simon, and they said, would you want to, you know, we'd love to make a record with you. And of course, that was all I ever wanted, was to be heard on radio, because Stevie Wonder, who was my hero in life, and Michael Jackson, when he was still the cute Michael Jackson, was, you know, people I really just adored on radio. So my parents said, yeah, and I made my first record. It was a song called Please Stay, you know. It was like by Burt Bacharach, and it was something like this. It went, if I got on my knees and pleaded with you not to go but to stay in my arms, something like that, will you walk out the door like you did once before? This time, something like that, would be different. Please stay. Something like that, you know. But I mean, it was 10 keys higher at the time. But that
song
was
a young man.
What did I know about love? I knew nothing about love, you know, 12 years old. But the song became a national hit song. And, you know, it was the first time that I experienced in South Africa that kind of notoriety and popularity and fame. And I still lived in a shack, you know, with outhouse and all that stuff. No electricity, you know. A lot of things did not change, even though I was probably the country's most popular artist from that time. And I later discovered the ramifications, or what that, you know, what that presented, that I was the first black kid to be played on white radio. I mean, South Africa was very different. It was very different. Very different then. I mean, I won a Grammy, but my picture wasn't in the paper. You know, the white lady presented me the award, kissed me, you know, the night of the award. They never showed the picture. They just said, you know, the youngest black to ever win a South African Grammy. And so I had no idea what socially, politically, what that meant, you know. And I just kept going because music was my breath, was my life, was my salvation. But now we have a different kind of warfare that we have to fight, which is HIV/AIDS in South Africa. And we have to deal with poverty in South Africa. I do ask myself the question, what is going on in government and in power? So it just tells me that it takes leadership. When you say you're going to run, you know, for president, or you say you're going to run for, you're going to start a foundation, you know, to help the poor, it takes incredible amount of leadership, not just vision. Because we still, you know, I mean, my heart still breaks when I get off the plane and I drive from the airport to the hotel, you know. And I see more shanties now than I've ever seen. Now, having said that, I'm excited to walk down the streets a free man in South Africa. I remember as a kid seeing white signs, black signs, colored signs all over the place. You know, the Rosa Parks stories were endless in South Africa. None of them were heard. None of them were spoken of, you know. And so I can say it takes an incredible amount of leadership. It's going to take an incredible amount of leadership.
Well, I know that a lot of people have been inspired by your music, and I want to end with one of your breakthrough songs, breakthrough gospel songs. Will you take us out with Falling in Love with Jesus?
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus.
His new CD DVD collection, and we're talking about Jonathan Butler, is called Live in South Africa.
In his arms I feel protected all.